Senator Dale Fowler on the line. Dale, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Tom. Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas to you and your listening audience, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Hey, may go hiking Christmas Day. Who knows, right?
Why not? 57 on Saturday. Tell you what, what I wanted to do and ask Senator, you know, because I'm already to the point where I'm thinking about the end of the year and thinking about the new year and what we've got going on. And when it comes to the economy in particular. Now, Senator, of course, you were with the governor, Walker's Bluff. That's one of the, I think, keystone items. Although, you know, it's taken a long time to get this thing done where they painted the shovels, but it's done now. What should people expect as a result of the Walker's Bluff gambling casino operation, hotel and convention center? What should people expect from this?
Well, I think what they can expect, Tom, is the business plan is a world-class resort, you know, that we're so fortunate to have here in Southern Illinois. And as you mentioned, this was a long time coming, going back to when the gaming bill to ensure that the Walker's Bluff Resort was in the gaming bill that was in and out, and finally, after waiting hours of the session, was able to make sure ensure that it was in the gaming bill. That was kind of step one, of course. And then step two was to get where we are today. As you mentioned with the announcement, and the heavy equipment is, it was interesting, Tom, because once we walked off the stage at Walker's Bluff after the official groundbreaking, those operators were on their backhoes and on their end loaders, and the heavy equipment, you could hear the engines fire up and get to work as soon as we stepped off that stage. So they are moving dirt and like you wouldn't believe right now. I so appreciate Cindy and Dave Bunch's tenacity for not giving up on this project. It was a long time coming. It was very difficult to get this through to where we are today. So I'm excited for all the job creation opportunities that Southern Illinois is going to have, and the ancillary business creations. And not only that, you know, that, Tom, but the fact that people are going to have an opportunity to stay right here in Southern Illinois and go to work, and these local businesses are going to prosper, from our lumber yards to our hardware stores to our restaurants. So it's really exciting for Southern Illinois.
When do they propose that it'll be open and ready for customers?
I believe the projected construction period is 14 months.
All right.
So that's really, and the broad spectrum of things, that's not long, really. But if you drive by there, you'll see it's incredible what they've done already.
Now, the Carroll Port is something that you've been pushing hard for on since almost the day you went into office. This is heavy lifting on an epic level, because I mean, as a rule, ports are organic and they grow, and there's additions since the beginning of time. And the reason why I mention that is because Caro is the only place where you have a river confluence, not only river confluence, but the biggest one, and there's nothing there. It's the only place in the United States, right, that's like this. Now, there's a few things there, but when you look at other ports, it's nothing. This is an opportunity, you know, for this place in a crucial location to have a major impact, but since it's not organic in its growth, you have to play catch-up in many respects as well. Creating something that is as big as what you envisioned is going to take a lot of heavy lifting and important partners.
Absolutely. There's currently, I believe, approximately 18 non-disclosure agreements with multi-billion dollar companies that are waiting to see this come to fruition, Tom. Our consultants and environmental engineers and architects and everyone that's on board with this, working on this project, is put in insurmountable time, you know, in this, as we all know. And, you know, now they're working with the Army Corps of Engineers on the permitting process. There's approximately 20 Army Corps of Engineer permits involved in this project. That's very tedious, of course, and time-consuming, but that's the kind of the process now. The concept design has been completed for the first phase of construction. So a lot of work has gone into this, of course, as we all know. But as you mentioned, we have an opportunity here at the confluence of Mississippi and Ohio that doesn't exist anywhere in the nation. And I know we've talked about this a lot, Tom, the fact that 80% of all inland barge traffic flows by the city of Caro, Illinois. And to be able to have an opportunity to go to the Gulf lock-free with container transportation opportunities. And, you know, it is the most economical form. And that industry is growing. I've obviously learned a lot by just kind of sitting on the sidelines and watching the professionals in the industry discuss and talk about what kind of impact this is going to have on the entire Midwest to be able to build this port in Cairo. And again, it's kind of like I mentioned on the Walker's Bluff Resort, Tom, the ancillary business creation opportunities that's going to come from this. Building the port is obviously going to be extremely exciting and monumental, game-changing, world-class. But the fact that they're going to, this area is going to have an opportunity to have other business opportunities and expansion. You're already seeing property being purchased. You're already seeing homes being revitalized, some new businesses coming into the area in anticipation. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's more things coming, too. And you know, it's a $40 million public investment, and the private investment is going to be probably about 4 to 5 times of that. So that's obviously encouraging that it's going to be public-private. And not only that, Tom, but we're also, I'm going after, there was $150 million in a capital bill for Illinois ports. Carroll Port is $40 million of that $150. And I'm going after some more funds to be able to build another port on the Ohio side to be able to transport fertilize and grain from the Ohio side. So hopefully you're going to be hearing about that real soon. We're gaining momentum on that. We haven't talked a lot about that yet, but that's coming to fruition.
What did you do or will you have to do when it comes to attracting people to Cairo because of Cairo's reputation?
Well, you know, that's a stigma that's been there for, you know, as we know, for decades. I think if the people that come into Cairo, that we're bringing into Cairo from all over the Midwest, even as far, you know, even the Taiwan delegation from the Economic and Cultural Office of Chicago, they brought their entire delegation down here and potential investors and toured the site. And I think when people that are going through Cairo now and they see the history that's there and the opportunity that lies there that they weren't really maybe aware of, and it just so happens that, you know, the confluence is at Cairo. That's where the confluence is. And we're just taking advantage of this opportunity that lies there. You have Fort Defiant that's amazing, an Illinois Department of Natural Resource State Park. You're seeing renovations there. You're seeing enhancements done to that state park. You're seeing private investment coming into the city. You're seeing the city. You see people from all over Southern Illinois and the Midwest coming in, volunteering their time to help clean up. But, you know, that we have to get through that, Tom. This is about the future. This is about helping the people in an area that has been economically depressed and left behind for many years. And, you know, you have, it's kind of like old Shawneetown, Illinois. You're seeing an incredible momentum going on in that area of Gallatin County that's almost equally as economic depressed, that you're going to see some incredible business creation opportunities there as well. So it's, you know, that's where the confluence is. That stigma's there. It's always been there. We have to work through that. That's a shame. But what's happened in the years, but we're moving forward. It's about moving forward. It's not about looking at the past. It's about looking at the future. It's about looking at job creation, creating opportunity for those that deserve the opportunity, especially in that area of Pulaski County, Alexander County, just rich with history. And for those of the people that haven't driven through Cairo lately, I know it's going to be an eye-opener to you, but when you get off the beaten path, you get on Washington Street, what was once called Millionaire's Row, still mentioned as that, and see the history and Magnolia Manor, River Lore Mansion, the Carriage House, the library, Fort Defiance. I think you're really going to be pleased what you're seeing, and you're also going to start seeing some housing development in that area as well. So let's just strive toward the future, Tom.
All right, now Senate Democrats got to hear from Senator Dick Durbin about federal monies that were coming when it comes to road construction. That was for Senate Democrats. I would have thought with that kind of conversation it would have been all of them. But I am curious, in your district, how much money on road construction? Because when you look at little bits and $100 million two or three times starts to add up, Senator. How much in your district?
Right, exactly. In my district, it's just a little under $1 billion. I believe it's around $800 million of investment that's going in to the 59th district, and you're seeing it now with the expansion of 57, which is desperately needed for safety reasons, and also as we continue our development, economic development initiatives in Southern Illinois, that be able to get people in easier and safer. You're seeing bridges being replaced. You're seeing resurfacing going on all over Southern Illinois, especially when you get off. I cover 13 counties currently, Tom, and under the new map will be 14 counties. So I'm all over this. I'm all over the state highways, and you see the stoplights in this on the state highways because they're rebuilding bridges and they're widening roads and the resurfacing roads. So it's really encouraging to see this investment coming in. And for those that may not know, for every $100 million and road construction is equivalent to 1,100 construction jobs. If you calculate that, that's amazing. That's why you're seeing our labor groups. That's why you're seeing operating engineers and laborers and everyone really working on their apprenticeship programs, expanding their apprenticeship programs, and putting more people to work.
So today, you're going to be heading off to Heaven's Kitchen today. This is your big feast today, correct? Or are you just preparing for the feast today?
That is our feast today. You know, my foundation's Heaven's Kitchen that we created over 3 years ago. We had a Thanksgiving feast. We serve every Tuesday night at Heaven's Kitchen Harrisburg and on Thursday nights at Marion. But tonight in Harrisburg is our Christmas feast. And for Thanksgiving, we served about 3,500 meals. We've delivered all over Southern Illinois in curbside pickup. So we're expecting to do the same today. I want to really say thank you to our friends, Labor 773, that donated 150 baked cured hams to this initiative in Southern Illinois that supported the foundation. You know, what a blessing this foundation has been in Heaven's Kitchen to be able to deliver these meals to shut-ins, to be able to work with, you know, these communities all over Southern Illinois that come in and pick up these meals and distribute throughout their communities. And so it's just been an incredible blessing. And the community support from Southern Illinois, you know, Give SI, you know, you saw what they did just a couple weeks ago. You know, we were part of that. People donated to us through that as well. And then also my Clothes for Kids program that I actually created this next year, 2022, Tom, will be the 20th anniversary of the Clothes for Kids program that created through a childhood memory that I had growing up on a farm in El Dorado, which you're well aware of all that. We've talked about that for many years. And we're supplying over 600 children a year with a new apparel for school to be able to wear to school. And this time of year, working, you know, it's a confidential referral program through our schools and social agencies. And to be able to, you know, especially this time of year during the Christmas holidays, we're shopping every day all over Southern Illinois, complete new wardrobe for these children. If somebody would have told me 20 years ago, said, Dale, you'd be helping over, you know, supplying over 600 children a year throughout Southern Illinois with complete new apparel, wardrobe for school, I would have said, how are we doing that?
Right.
How would we do that, Tom? But it's been a blessing, and I'm so thankful to all the support from Southern Illinois to help us with our mission of serving others.
I can't help but wonder, Senator, if once I have conducted more interviews with Daniel Evans. I think you know Daniel, the manager of the FS in Harrisburg. I did an interview with him on cost to produce food yesterday. We've seen inflation in the stores already. I'm wondering if the role of Heaven's Kitchen won't become more important for people on fixed incomes once we continue to see the effects of inflation and on a fixed income, because I don't see how people are going to start wondering how they're going to get by, and very often they start looking at some point cutting that food bill and looking to organizations to help them in stopgap situations.
Absolutely. You know, my foundation with Heaven's Kitchen, Tom, is, you know, we're working, you know, we feed a lot, especially the elderly that are, you know, homebound, so disabled. It's really touching when you knock on the door and they come to the door and they've got tears running down their eyes because they don't have the money to buy the groceries and things like that. And they're waiting looking out the window every Tuesday night to see that Rides Mass Transit bus pull up and a volunteer come off that bus with hot meals. And it's an incredible experience. But, you know, absolutely. I know Danny Evans extremely well. You know, our agricultural industry, you know, I was born and raised on a farm. You're seeing the price of fertilizer going up, as he talked about on his interview with you. That was an incredible interview. It was really an impactful interview for people to know. That's the reason why we have to just continue to work with our youth and work with everyone to do everything we can and let them know that there is opportunity for them. There are resources for them. I'm also working with veterans organizations. As the veterans come out of the military, we're going to create job opportunities for them through vocational training. I was at the Golconda Job Corps again yesterday with a group out of Chicago that I've been working with since October of last year, actually, for almost 14 months now, that are looking at taking over the Golconda Job Corps for vocational training opportunities to give our citizens an opportunity to be trained, give them hope, and also working with Egyptian Health Department or health departments to create the resources that our people need to, you know, give them the opportunity and the hope that they deserve to have. We have a lot of challenges ahead of us, Tom. We know that. But we're so blessed here in Southern Illinois that we all step up and do our part to make life better for others. That's why we're here. That's why we've been placed where we are. But we have to continue to do that. We have to continue just to hope. That's why I'm wanting to put this port on the Ohio side, too, to be able to alleviate some of the transportation costs for our farmers to be able to transport their fertilizer and their grain and their stock.
Right.
So you're going to be hearing a lot of great things in 2022. I'm really excited. I just thank everyone for being positive, just being positive as we go into this year. And before we leave, I'm going to be at Denton tonight, Tom, on the memorial for the 70th anniversary, seventh year of the Orient II mine explosion. I'm going to be speaking at Denton tonight. This is 70 years since that mine explosion where 119 miners were lost their lives. And I can't imagine, I think about this all the time, I can't imagine what those families went through. Anytime there's something catastrophic like that happens, especially right here before Christmas. So those families are in our thoughts and prayers as we continue to remember those lives that were lost 70 years ago in the Orient II mine explosion.
Yeah, I believe that starts at 7 o'clock tonight at the First Christian Church at 1001 South Cherry in West Frankfort. So keep that in mind, because Dale's going to make it as hard for me as he can. He says, let's end this positive. Let's be positive. Okay, before I let you go, unpositive. The governor's signing of the repeal of the PNA last Friday. What was your reaction, Senator?
Very disappointing. We have to, our families should have our parents should have the authority to run their families' lives. We knew that was coming, but we just have to work toward, we're going to go back into session in January. Obviously we'll continue this discussion as far as our caucus is concerned, as our strategy moving forward. But, I think we all know what our thoughts are there. It's going to be, challenging for our families. I can't imagine, a mother or a father not knowing what's going on with their young child or their daughter or even son, whatever it may be, when it comes to the health and well-being of their child. So, we have to pray that things will get better there, Tom, that's for sure. But yeah, we have to look forward to a good year. You're going to see, I would like to say that, we're going to see Sahara Woods, that OHV park that's going to be the first public motorized trail facility in the entire state of Illinois. You're going to see it come to fruition in this next year. So excited about that. That's been a struggle getting that funding, that federal funding. But actually, the governor called me the day after Thanksgiving and said he actually heard the radio interview that you and I had Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and where we talked about Sahara Woods and that $1.3 million of federal funds that was being delayed. And he said he wanted to help get that done, and I actually got a call from the deputy director of IDNR yesterday, and those funds have been released, so we can start continued construction on that world-class OHV park at Sahara Woods here in Saline County, the first public motorized trail facility in the entire state of Illinois.
Now, who was listening to the interview and heard that?
Governor Pritzker. He called me the day after we had an interview Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and the day after Thanksgiving he called me and said he heard the interview, and we talked about the federal funds, the delay of Sahara Woods OHV part because of the $1.3 million in federal funds, and he said that he wanted to help get that done, and I got the call yesterday, as a matter of fact. And Allie Belsini, the deputy director of Illinois Department of Natural Resources, said those funds have been released, so construction can proceed.
Well, as I said at the end of last week, we do appreciate the governor listening in and the governor's office listening into the interviews here in the morning and taking action on some accounts when they hear information here. And that means a lot to us here that, we like to be heard, don't we, Senator? Here's interesting. I just got a note from David Severin. Says I'll be speaking at the memorial event tonight in West Frankfort as well. So Illinois State Representative David Severin and Senator Dale Fowler. Dale, got to let you go. Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, and God bless you all.